Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Good morning to everybody out there. It is heat week officially on WBEN and in Western New York. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Bring it on. Yes.
Heat week.
Preparing for it, getting ready. It's going to be like you're on vacation and you're just here in Buffalo.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're still going to work. You're still going to, well, half of a school day, depending on where you are. But it's not a vacation.
No, the weather will feel like you're on vacation.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you should live every day like you're on vacation.
No.
To quote Kiss.
You'd be 1,000 pounds. You'd get no work done.
Not everyone just pigs out on vacation, Brian. Right.
Well, there is a lot of stuff going on. Heat week is one of them. I mean, what are the best ways to beat the heat in Western New York? You can let us know, 803-0930, how you're doing it. I want to know, I wish we could get like a area-wide survey.
Yeah.
What percentage of homes in Western New York do you think have AC?
I want to say it is now, because I think more and more people do get central air when they update their system. I'd say it's at 40%.
I was going to say like 35, so we're right at around the same thing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little lower than 40.
30 to 40%.
Yep,
have central air. I kind of think that's right on.
I mean, because most streets I drive down. Not that I drive down a lot of streets, but most streets, you at least see one or two houses with the AC unit out the window, right? So if that stays true, then yeah, I would say that.
You might have both, depending on how good the air is, the air system is in your house.
If you like having high electric bills, you may have both.
I'll count in that those like mini splits that they have, the Mitsubishi ones where it's not central air, but you have the big thing in the home, and that I think that counts in this. But I think it's like 30 to 40%.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with
probably
that.
Probably has some sort of central air right now. So that's most people are just roasting.
No, if you have a window, my experience with window units are very comfortable once you get that thing cranked and going.
If you get a good one.
Yeah.
I got a cheap one that just doesn't work. It works, but like you got to be next to it if you really want some relief.
The last apartment I lived in that didn't have central air, I got my my window unit at the going out of business sale for Sears, and let me tell you, it was great. It was
depends on how your home is set up though. Like I'm picturing my old apartment, I never got the AC unit. It would be like 70's normal.
Yeah.
It would be like 90 degrees inside. And we'd just be, have the box fans going, windows open, stuff like that. And we'd be sweating in there. And I just never budged on getting the air conditioning unit.
That's interesting to me because you're the one saying this is too hot this week.
Yes.
I'm the one saying bring it on. I'm ready for it. And when I lived, again, that same apartment, I tried to go, I got the fan on me. I'm fine. A day after it was the hottest and I could not sleep, I was across the street at Sears getting that window unit.
I bet my thing at the time was, I'm like, I'm not buying an AC unit. It's only like 15 days like this a year where it's that bad in here, and we're going to be moving soon to a place with air.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
Like, that's... I'm not going to buy it for one, maybe 2 years of, like, using for the hot days.
But the good thing is, when I did sell that thing 3 years later, I made as much money. If not, I can't remember, I might have made more money selling it than I actually paid for it.
Really?
And it was a great unit. Yeah, it was 50% off.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if I would trust buying one of those from someone. Like if it still worked.
Yeah,
you'd have to take it for a test run. you have to take it for a test drive before you buy it.
That's what you get on Marketplace, which I guarantee there's a lot of people throwing their like, I still have this from when we didn't have AC in my garage. Maybe I'll sell it this week.
Well, now's the time to look for it or, ask 25% more if you were selling it online or something like that, because it's going to be the hottest week that I can remember. I mean, we've had a lot of weeks with hot days. A day or two might reach the 90s. It's going to be four straight days of 90 or above throughout much of Western New York. Maybe five, depending on how Friday shakes out.
Hydrate, right? if you feel lightheaded, sit down. I mean, just be smart out there, but enjoy it. Enjoy
the
weather.
Yesterday was a hot one. I mean, yesterday I was out there in the sun. I'm already sunburned from the weekend. My whole back is red.
I mean, the fact that you got sunburned before me is, I'm very surprised.
I was out there. I was painting shutters and, you know, out there without my shirt on, going, you know, doing all that. Never put on any sunscreen.
Got to put on the sunscreen.
Yeah, I just, I did yesterday after I got sunburned. I don't want to get any more sunburn.
Right.
That's the idea. So I did yesterday.
You don't want to get to where it starts bubbling up.
But yesterday, out in the sun and then, you know, behind the grill, I was like, whoa, it was too much. And the grill plays into that because you get the heat from the grill. But I was, yesterday, just being, walking around going, I am so exhausted from the heat right now. I am dreading this week because I know that this was the light day.
How much of that water have you had so far today?
I've drank this entire 40-ounce thing. Yesterday, I sucked down like two Gatorades. I had a big thing of water with like electrolytes and everything mixed in. I'm still like, ugh.
It's my last glass of the gallon. I'm feeling pretty good. And I will look at this because the question you and Susan were asking this morning, Brian, extreme heat or extreme cold? And I do think people forget what extreme cold is like. I think people have forgotten what it's like because we had a mild winter, right? The lake barely froze. We've had a very mild winter. I think you forgot what extreme cold for days and days is like. It's not fun. And yes, you can bundle up all you want, but your fingertips, your toes, they still get that numb feeling no matter how bundled you are, no matter if you have the gloves and the heat packet, you still get that just numbing feeling. I'm sorry, I can put up with this. Give it to me for a month. It beats a day of extreme cold.
So what's the equivalent of this week on the other end of the spectrum? So like this week we have all these days above 90 and, you know, these 3 days in the middle of the week, probably mid-90s or above. The heat index will be above 100. Is the equivalent to that a week where the temperature is, you know, 15, 12... 10, 12, 15, and it feels like 5 below?
I'd say an equivalent is take any week from February 2015. We never got above freezing. I remember anytime you walked outside, the car is iced over, right? So it takes 20 minutes to defrost that. You're slipping, sliding everywhere. Again, I will go with, and maybe it's circulation in my hands. I should probably get that checked out. But just not being able to feel parts of your fingers after wiping your car off. I would say, yeah, pick a week from that February, and that's equivalent to this week. And again, I will take this week. And isn't it funny? My favorite holiday is Christmas, and I love snow around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But as I always say, January 2nd, it could be 75, and I'd be happy.
No, I like the cold. And somebody texted in, 8030930, how are you beating the heat this week? What are you doing? Would you rather have the extreme heat or the extreme cold? 8030930 to weigh in with us. On our text board already, somebody's saying, mild winter. We had all this snow. We're talking about temperature, not snowfall. We had a lot of snowfall this past... Well, we had some big snows.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had a lot of snowfall throughout
the
entire winter.
2 years ago, we had the one big snowfall.
Temperature-wise, it was a very mild winter. Yes. Because you know how I judge it? They didn't even attempt to put the ice rink around the corner from my house outside. You know, like it's that kind of mild winter. Someone else, think about the blizzard and how cold you were. I was toasty.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the extreme cold, it's so bad. I mean, not if you're inside.
But
if you bundle up a little bit.
But not most of the time when it's cold outside, you're not stuck inside. You do have to go to work. You do have to go live your life.
Right. You go do those few things. And you know what? In the heat, like going out to work, it's fine too. I think the big difference for me is this. In the summer is where you want to be outside.
Yeah.
Like during the winter, we're not really hanging outside a lot. I mean, unless you're a skier. Snowboard, you know, you're doing that kind of stuff. I don't do that. It's not that I'll never be outside. You know, go play in the snow a little bit with the kids. They love throwing the snowballs and things. But generally, you're inside somewhere.
Yeah.
For the most part. In the summer, that's where I want to be outside. June, July, August, you want to be outside every single day. This week, I do not want to be outside.
Yeah.
So the heat is actually... taking something away from me in the summer in a way that the cold wouldn't really do in the winter.
See, I don't look at it. I cannot wait to be outside. Like, I'm obviously I will put sunscreen on. I will hydrate up. But, you know, I'll be on the back patio. I'll be on my front porch. I mean, numerous times this week, I got my Bluetooth speaker all charged up, Brian. Play some music. Sit out there. My son's got his water table all set up. He's going to have fun with that. We'll probably take a few dips into the pool. Like, I'm going to take advantage of this weather because of exactly what you said. I know 6 months from now, I'm not going to be outside. I'm going to be stuck inside. So I'm going to take advantage of this weather, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be smart, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's like we have the inflatable pool.
Yeah.
The little thing. You know, we'll blow that up. But how long am I going to let my kids simmer in the pool? You know, that'll be 80 degrees by the time. I'm going to have to, like, go to the ice store and just, like, keep dumping buckets in there that'll melt right away because it's going to be hot. It's hot.
It'll be enjoyable. You can make it enjoyable. You can't make freezing enjoyable. You can make hot enjoyable as long as you're smart. And yeah, you're right. You are going to have to step inside, cool down, but you can enjoy it.
I think your actions prove that you actually like the extreme cold more than the extreme heat.
How's that?
You went to the Bills game against the Patriots where it was like 20 below zero.
I love playoff football, and at that point, I had not been to a playoff football game since 1996.
Okay, but it was the extreme. I was out in that weather for 5 minutes, and I said, yeah, no way, that's enough.
Well, I didn't like the weather. I loved the game.
But you had to weather the weather to go to the game.
And if it was this hot, I still would have gone to the game.
Okay, but you say you love this kind of heat. You'll still deal with the kind of cold to do what you want to do.
Compared to the cold, I'll take this every day. I'm not saying I love it. Hey, in my opinion, nothing beats sunny 75. I love it. I'll take that all summer. But I'm not going to complain about this because I know what extreme cold's like, and it's no day at the park. That game, as fun as it was, playoff atmosphere, because it was a playoff game, it, you know, the tailgate wasn't what it usually is. I sat inside most of the prep. I had a ton of layers on, could barely move. But you're right, had fun. It was a playoff game, made the most of it. Would have done the same here.
Well, heat or the cold, what do you prefer? 803-0930. That the big story of the morning, the old pink, gone.
Yeah.
Fire on Allen Street this morning at the pink. And it is a total loss. You can see some of the photos. I mean, the photo shows, once we just posted at WBEN, shows just how much of a loss that was. And Joe, that is a Buffalo nightlife icon.
Yeah.
It has been one of those things that are, it's just, everyone knew, even if you didn't go there regularly, or maybe even ever, you knew about it. You knew what people were talking about. Like, it was an icon in Buffalo, and now no more.
It was when you brought up the popular Allentown bar scene. I mean, it's what people, it's one that would for sure come up if you're talking about it.
And even if you didn't spend time, like, a lot of people go out on Allen, like, that's their area to go out. Even if you didn't, that would be the place you would go to Allen for.
Yep.
Late at night, you know, after 2. Is when you start to migrate your way over there.
Yeah.
It's a thing that cannot be rebuilt.
No. It, honestly, 100%.
Legally, honestly, yes. I think it could not be rebuilt.
Exactly.
To the same way. And it's also a thing that cannot, you can't just put a new building there and say, like, oh, well, this is the new pink. And it's just, it's we'll it will vibe. Never be the same.
Yeah.
How many things in Buffalo and Western New York are like that?
Where if anything like this happened, it's non-replaceable.
You just cannot replace it. You don't have the same atmosphere. Because look, and a lot of these places are places that I love.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you wanted to, you could rebuild it either exactly the same way or maybe entirely different. And it would still be the same place that you loved, right? I mean, they could maybe move next door, you know, to a totally different building, and whether it's the people there, the type of food they make, or something like that, you know, more or less it would be exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think there's certain places that could not happen.
Tough to imitate that, the vibes that you have. It's, you can't replicate that in a different building.
Right. I think the pink is...
For sure.
That's one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I can still, in my head right now, imagine walking into the old pink. You know what I mean? As soon as you walk in, you know you're there. You cannot, no matter what you do, and again, whatever they want to do, I hope they're able to do it, but you will not be able to replicate that place in any shape or form.
But it's the dinginess.
Yes.
The oldness.
Yeah.
Is that a proper term?
Yeah.
The oldness, the just that grimy feeling, that's what made it.
Yes.
And you can't say that about a lot of places. I think every city gets one of those places.
Yeah, I think we have a few. I think we have more than just one.
Right, but we have more than a few, Joe. But every city has one of those places where it's part of the charm.
Yeah.
Right. And you can say that and it's actually true, as opposed to you just walking in and being like, no. You know, like you have the John Taffer reaction to it. Like if John Taffer walked into the pink.
Yeah, I'm not sure John would be a fan.
What would he say?
Yeah.
He would not be a fan, but I would go into a lot of John Taffer's bars and say, like, this is boring. Like, yeah. This is all the same stuff that's in every strip mall across America, whatever. But every city has, like, one of those things where it's, like, grimy, it's dingy, it's a little dirty, it's old, it hasn't changed really that much since, even though, you know, the pink's gone through a lot of changes, exterior. Even interior a little bit,
right?
Over the past, 20 years, at least from what I can recall, it's over 150 years.
Yeah,
what? Like it's got to be 150 years old. A million changes in that time. You can't build it back, a new version of that, right? Like, because when you build like a new version of something, it's supposed to feel like old or rustic.
It always misses it.
It's never, like, it could be cool, or I guess, right? But it's not the same.
No.
It's never the same thing.
No. I mean, the old pink is no longer, and like I think they should call it the new pink, but I would not try to replicate. I would try to make a new thing. Does that make sense? Like, I would try to do something new, because
you'd have to.
Unfortunately, you're not going to imitate this. You can't redo it.
That's it. What other place in Buffalo is like that? That if this were to happen, it just could never, you could never capture the magic. And I'm not talking about something like City Hall or, you know, something like that that is kind of obvious,
yeah.
You know, but a bar or restaurant or a place like that that just would not be the same if it was tried to rebuild. Because I've seen numerous comments online, and I've even, you know, I was talking to Jeremy down the hall. And he mentioned to me, this is our version of the Notre Dame Cathedral fire, where it's something you would need to rebuild it exactly like how it was for it to ever be remotely the same. And that's not going to, I say that's not going to happen. I don't think that would be allowed to happen with modern codes and, you know, building inspections and things like that. But what is the other building in Western New York that's like that?
It's a great question. 803-0930, star 930. Would love to hear from you.
B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Somebody chimed in on our text board that the Pink was named the best dive bar in New York State a while ago. I would see that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that could be the thing. The old Pink gone. I mean, some of the photos, just incredible. You can't replicate that.
No. And I, don't get me wrong, I love a good dive bar. Right? I mean, I'd like to see the top 10 on that list and go to all 10. I'm a dive bar fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's my scene.
What makes a good dive bar?
The lighting has to be poor. An added bonus for me is a grill behind the bar. I love a grill. No fryer. You get the grill. You want some chips? Or you get no fryer. There's a grill and the bartender's pouring your drink and then turn around and flipping the burger. That's an added bonus at a dive bar.
Cash only.
You got to have cash
makes
only.
Makes a good dive bar.
Yeah, and a $5 charge ATM machine.
Yes. That makes a good dive bar. But no, it is one of those things. On our text board, a lot of people just saying, how could you replicate the smell? the greasy walls. You know, it reminds me of when Mohawk Place, they closed and somebody new opened it up. And it stayed largely the same. I mean, you go in there and it's kind of the same thing, except people immediately noticed one thing when it reopened. Who cleaned the bathroom? And it's like you walked in there. It's like, whoa, where am I? Now, in the years since, it's regained some of its flavor in the bathroom.
That's good. They heard the complaints.
It was like one of those things that, you know, you think like, okay, like this is... They kept it the same. That's nice. You walked into the bathroom like, oh, wow, I guess not.
That's also, in my opinion, a sign of a dive is it's questionable if the bathroom has a stall, right? There might be no barriers around the toilet in a dive bar bathroom. And the flusher jiggles. It's not a clean flush.
Yeah.
That's also part of a dive. Flush. The person before you also might not have flushed.
If you
come to think of it, we might work at a dive bar.
803-0930. Any memories of that? You know, is there anything else that you think like cannot be rebuilt? I mean, that's because you look at what the Pink was. You rebuilt it now. I mean, you could put a building up and paint flames on the outside and do whatever. Like, you can't necessarily have that same atmosphere in a new place. I don't think it's just going to be a little bit different. I've been to places that are new and try to have that old or like dive bar kind of feel. And I appreciate the effort, but it's just not the same.
No, you can't build a dive bar. A dive bar had to be already existing. Now you can buy an old building and make it a dive bar, but you can't build a dive bar.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
You can't build a dive bar. That is a good way. And then, of course, the heat. What do you prefer? Extreme heat, extreme cold? You can let us know, 803-0930. How are you beating the heat this week?
Like I said, I said this yesterday, Brian. You know, this is the week. That friend with a pool, you go, hey, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yeah.
How you been? You know, and then, hey, I'd love to get together. My place is a mess. What are you up to?
Yeah.
You know, this is when you remember that friend with a pool.
Would you rather have a pool or the AC? Like, is there, you get to pick one, which is the better thing to have to beat the heat?
The AC. I don't need a pool. I don't care about a pool.
I'm hands down AC all the way.
AC. I want the air conditioning. You know, we're set at like 59 right now. Just ready to go. Pool's an added bonus if you have a pool. Nice, but I'm all about the AC.
So if you live near Joe, he's the reason the power goes out tomorrow.
No, I'm not. We have it at 66, very reasonable.
I mean, this is going to be the one where my smart thermostat is going to like have me at 80 or whatever, and I'm going to have to keep going back to it and saying, like, no, I'm the boss here, robot, AI.
You can't just automatically thermostat. Override it?
There's probably a way you can automatically override it, but it will keep trying to bounce it back.
Now this is going to sound ridiculous, but this is the one thing I know I'm going to miss this week. As much as I say bring on the heat, in our old apartment we had a fan in the TV room and in the bedroom. Here the fan's only in the TV room. We didn't get the added fan in the bedroom to go with the AC, which is a nice when it's like this. So I think this week lots of couch sleeping.
Yeah, the fan is a must for whatever reason. I think it's the vent that's on the where the cold air comes out for the AC. Our room doesn't. I go into like both the kids' room. Like last night, I'm putting the kids to bed, and like, oh man, I, you know, bundle up. My son is like asking, oh, I need all my blankets on because it's cold in here.
Nice.
I'm like, whoa, okay, yeah. I mean, I get it because it is kind of chilly. And I go into our room, it's like warm. You know, I got like nothing on. It's like, what the heck's going on here? But that's how it is in our house.
But that's nice that you. The kids have the room.
Yeah, the kids, they get all the nice stuff, and then we are, you know, sweating in our room because the air just, for whatever reason, I think it's because of the vent and how it's situated in the worst place and with the worst vent cover. But there's only, like, you cannot get a vent cover that size except for the worst possible one. You know the one that goes in three directions?
Yeah.
If it goes in three directions, it goes in none. That's what I say. Because it
just
fights
itself.
Yeah, it's the worst thing, and it just doesn't reach.
I have to say, as much as I'm team heat, I do like the conditions in the fall and winter for sleeping. Like, there's nothing better than a cool night. Maybe, you know, you can bundle up. I love that. There's no bundling up this week. No, even if you have the AC on all day, all night.
I mean, that is the worst thing about this. As somebody put on our text board, pools are great, but you can't sleep in them.
Yeah.
And that is the entire argument right there. Pool, that's nice. I need some sort of comfortable sleeping condition.
Yeah.
Even if the AC isn't working all the time. You put that on, you got the fan going, and we're going to be able to not be sweating the entire time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. You know, you travel to Florida, you travel to the Carolinas for the beach. You know, I say this, Brian, last time I was in Vegas, it was in August. Vegas in August is very hot. Guess what? Place was still packed. So you travel to the weather, enjoy the weather. Enjoy it this week. Just be smart, be safe.
I have this list, Joe, of it's from YouGov over in the UK, and it is the top 10 bad behaviors for people who dine out. Now, I don't know who they asked, but it is a UK-based term. This stuff might be universal, though, and I want to go through the top 10 of the unacceptable behavior for restaurant patrons.
I'm glad you brought this up. I have the same list in front of me.
You were looking at, because this is just, I think we all agree with a lot of stuff on this list. We'll go with the stuff that is universal first. One, saying they won't pay for a dish they didn't like but ate anyway.
Oh, the worst.
Only 90% said that's unacceptable. The other 10% should be banned from restaurants. Yes. I think it's that. The other 90%, allowing children to roam freely.
I'm still surprised when you see that. Like, who's out there just letting their kids walk table to table around a restaurant?
In a crowded restaurant. There's, I think, a difference here. I've been out with my kids. My kid took his first steps at the former Witter's Bar, my firstborn. But because there's nobody, a whole dining room, we're the only people in it.
Oh, yeah.
You can walk around.
Yeah.
You do what you want. Then if somebody else comes and sits, you sit your butt in the seat.
Right.
That's how it works.
Yeah, the rules are out.
If there's people there, you're not walking around table to table.
No.
If it's at all crowded in a way, you're going to bump into, so you're not walking anywhere. If you're alone, you have the whole area to yourself.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
It's like at a movie. If you're the only one in the theater, talk. But if there's other people, then the rules go in.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The other one, number three, debate menu prices with the staff.
Yeah, I've never seen this. I just can't imagine there's anyone out there doing that.
Oh, I can imagine there's people out there doing
it. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Come on. You've never, like, had the person, maybe not debating it with the staff, but making the comment, like, while they're ordering or something like that. Just, you know, the price is right there. Yeah. You don't want it, move on.
I'm a server.
You're not setting the menu price.
What do you think I can do?
This one, though, is this is the big one. Staying past the restaurant's closing time. 83% of people say that's unacceptable behavior. And I don't know how we get to a full 100% on something like this. But that is like you don't walk in 5 minutes before closing. Mm. You don't stay until well after closing.
Yeah. And you know, this goes for takeout places too. Say you get to a place, they close at 10. You got there at 9:50. And they said, yeah, we can fire the fryers back up or fire the oven. They're trying to... Could you just say, oh, you know, never mind. I don't want you to go to the extra hassle. Like when the people working there, you can tell they've obviously cleaned up. There's nothing left. Oh, we'll fire the oven back up for you. No, we're closing in 10 minutes.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think people say that anymore.
No, I mean.
I think people just say, like, no.
I'm a few years removed from the food industry.
Which is like, it almost goes like back the other way, where I've been to like places an hour or so before they close, and you see people going like, no, we're done. We're not making that anymore. It's like, oh, well, now you're pushing it.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
You're pushing it.
I'm saying the last like 20 minutes, maybe just if they have it, great. If not, you know, be courteous. People do want to get home. They have their families. Retail also. I have to, you know, Brian, I have to bring my retail experience into this. That's another thing. Store closing. We lock, you know, the doors close when the store closes and people don't get the hint. And, you know, they just ignore. We'll be closing in 5 minutes. Still got their carts
loitering
full.
Around, yeah. Doing that kind of thing.
When we close, that's when they take their full cart to the register.
Yeah.
That gets me.
That would be pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Like, that's a last-minute run. That's a one item. If you're going right before closing, that's because you're running in, running out to get the charging cable because you don't have one.
Exactly.
And then you're out of there. Number five, snapping your fingers to get a waiter's attention. Do people do this?
I'm sure they do. And it again, this goes outside the restaurant industry. This is just, don't snap at anybody. I mean, do not snap at anyone to get their attention.
I snap at my kids.
Okay, that's different.
Hey. Hey. Hello. Well, listen up. I'll do that a couple times. You don't snap at another adult.
No. The only time you snap at another adult to get their attention, if there's a breaking situation on the TV, right? And you got to get the, hey, look, see?
Yeah.
That's it. But not...
Aliens are real, I told you.
But I've just...
If the aliens land, you can snap at me.
This is... And I have seen, not people I was with, I just want to clear it up, but I have seen people snap at a... Like when a server's taking an order at one table and you're at the table behind them, I have seen someone, hey, when you're done with them, can you come over here? Oof. And the tone people talk to the server with as well. Just unacceptable.
71% say it's unacceptable to bring outside food or drinks into the restaurant. The other... 29 includes Marshawn Lynch. No. What are we talking? A meal? Like you don't bring it. There are actually places. This is where it gets a little murky because there are actually places that will say, like, yeah, bring your outside food. Like we make a couple things here, but you want to order a pizza and drop it off here? That's okay.
Yeah. That. One of my favorite bars, speaking of a dive that's no longer with us, used to be on Sheridan, Alternative Brews. You could bring your food in while you enjoyed a beverage.
You're with kids? Like when I go, if we go out with, we'll bring some food for the kids. And we're still going to order food, but you need to bring some food while you're waiting for the kids to make that happen. So that you can get a little gray there.
And there is a place in East Amherst, I'm forgetting the name of it now, on Transit Road, where... They have great food, but you are invited to bring your own bottles of wine.
You know, some of that, like, some of it's okay. You have a bar, and, like, our, you know, we don't have any food, but you can order food or whatever. You know, we have chips or whatever it is. You can order food. Like, that's fine. Okay, I get that. Like, have you ever heard somebody, this happened to me once, like, many years ago. Someone's, like, talking to you about, like, this great restaurant. It's, you know, you bring your own... You have to bring your own beer or wine or whatever you want to drink. They serve great food, though. And then there's another one like it. You have to bring your own food, and then you sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, at what point are we like going into the things a restaurant needs to provide? Like, if I have to bring all my own drinks and chair, what are we doing here? This isn't a restaurant.
Yeah.
Get some chairs, get a tap, like...
Yeah,
what's going on?
I know this place. I've wanted to check it out because it does have good food reviews, but it does have a big sign. You are welcome to bring your own wine.
The number seven on the list, show up 15 minutes late to a reservation. Yeah, that's pretty understandable. Number eight, leave a mess at the table like a spilled drink or food crumbs. This one bugs me when I see other people leave like a big mess. I'm a big time plate stacker.
Yeah.
I know some people say that, no, don't stack your plates. I have my own. I'm condensing all my stuff. And then especially if we're out anywhere with kids, doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, a fast casual, wherever it is, fast food, something is dropping on the ground. I know from my one-year-old, I am bending over, getting napkins, I'm picking it all up. You don't leave a big mess.
No. We're the same way. My son, even if we're not home, my son, for some reason, will think the dog's with us. So when he's done eating, his thing now is to give the dog food.
Yeah.
Even if we're not at the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's throwing the food down there thinking the dog's there. Yeah, you pick that up. That's not on them. And again, this goes back to if it's busy, it's being courteous because they want to clean this table up and get the next reservation in. So you're helping them out. If you know, it's just it's being a courteous person. It's being part of
just
the community.
Just pick up after yourself.
Yes. That goes anywhere.
Yeah, it's the same reason you don't throw a bottle of pop out the window. Pick up after yourself.
Yeah.
Number nine is occupy a table for an extended period during busy hours. What's the feeling on this one?
I say yes, unless you're a huge party that, you know, gave a lot of money in orders. I would say, yeah, if it's just a family of four, there's no reason you should be there for more than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, if just me, my wife, and kid are at a restaurant, and, well, you know, yeah, just having dinner.
But that's different. You're out with friends.
Okay, yeah.
I like to, like, that is, it might be the only reason that I like going out to eat. We're out, not worried about cooking or cleaning or anything, and we're here, like, we go, maybe for a couple hours or longer. Like, we've gone to places and burned through a couple candles. I think as long as you're still ordering food.
Yes, and drinks.
And drinks, you're allowed to be at the table.
Yeah, yeah. But if you ordered something and then sat there for 2 hours, I do think that's
that's
annoying.
A little much.
Especially at a place if they have a bar. Like, if you're done eating and all you're doing is sitting there and you're not ordering anything else, you can just move yourself to the bar.
And I think the nicer the restaurant is, the more claim you have to stay at that table.
And by nicer, you mean the bill?
More expensive,
yeah.
Like, just feels a little, like, and the more casual it gets, the more I'm like, okay, we got to move. Because now you're impacting the server.
Yes.
Now, like, the server wants to change over the table, get a new person in here, a new tip, a new, you know, all that stuff.
If I'm done eating, even if we're having, you know, we can go to another place and socialize, and I see a wait at the door, I do feel like maybe I should get out of here. Regardless of the situation. Like, if I see a wait at the door, and we've been here now for two and a half hours, my time keeps going up, two and a half hours, I might see myself out. But you're right. I mean, the one reason to go out is to socialize. If I wasn't there to socialize, I'd just cook at home.
I'm here to plant my butt in the seat.
Yeah.
For the next extended period. Number 10, just over half of people say it's unacceptable to flirt with the staff.
Again, I think it depends on the situation.
How is the first flirtation received? That's what it depends on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I have definitely witnessed some...
Are you 40 years older than the person you're flirting with?
I was going to say, I have seen some uncomfortable flirting with the wait staff in my time. Fortunately, I've never been with the person who was being embarrassing. Again, I think this also goes back to something I've talked about, Brian. We have so many people in this world who just can't read a room. And I don't know if they like to put themselves in an uncomfortable position, but the people that will just keep on going and keep on flirting, especially when the person is not, I don't know, that goes for more than just the wait staff. But if you're there as a customer, yeah, come on, give the person a break. Yeah. They got a
million
tables.
They're not flirting with you, they're getting a tip.
Yeah, they got a ton of tables. You're slowing them down.
57% of people say that's unacceptable, and I think the rule is if you're 57 or older, you can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
You shouldn't be flirting with the waitstaff.
I don't think you should ever be flirting with, in my opinion. Like, why? You think servers like being flirted with all the time?
If you're attractive enough, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But for every attractive person who's flirting with you, you probably have someone that, like you said...
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back here tomorrow. Heat Week continues on WBEN. David Bellavia coming up next after the news with Lucas.